I hope that as you continue to sit with this text, that you feel some of the yearning that we're trying to create here on the fifth Sunday in Lent. Yearning that God might show up anew in the midst of our darkness, or maybe in the midst of our struggles, or in the midst of our joys and sorrows. I don't know what you're yearning for these days. Perhaps it's things like sun, or warmth, or green. I hope that today we might help our yearnings be shaped by Ephesians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul writes, "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your hearts enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for those of us who believe, according to the working of his great power." The sermon title today is Open the Graves of Our Hearts. And that title came into my mind because of this song that I had heard in contemporary church land over the past 15 years called Open the Eyes of My Heart. Does anyone know that song? Raise your hand. A peppy key of E. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Big rock band in the background. I thought, though, with this morning's text, that maybe it was a little more minor key, E minor instead of E major. Open the graves of our... I need an E minor. Open the graves of our hearts, Lord. Open the graves of our hearts. Help us to shake off all of our grave clothes. Probably not going to get as popular as Paul Baloch's song, but just helping us frame things, the yearnings that come from hope, probably a place of E minor as we move through Lent and look ahead to the next couple of Sundays, Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, that's just 2 weeks away. So we're going to take two quick trips, one trip with the Ezekiel text and one trip with the gospel text. The first trip I'm calling a trip to the boneyard, Ezekiel 37, verse 13, "And you shall know I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The story of dry bones from Ezekiel is probably the most popular story from Ezekiel, because Ezekiel's a pretty crazy book. It's filled with ghoulish images and mystery and death and destruction. It's Ezekiel the prophet during the time of about 597 BCE, and he's with his contemporaries, Jeremiah and Daniel, and the people of God are in exile. Jerusalem's been destroyed, and the people of God have been exiled to Babylon, and Ezekiel speaks these words of hope and healing and grace and renewal. But the context for the people of God is important here. They're hearing this in a place of despondence, of destruction, of despair. These are not a people who are in the high life. And so I think it's important that we recognize that when we hear God's word, it doesn't always need to happen when we're on the top of our game. And many of us, because of the reality of our lives, live pretty ordinary lives, yes, with joy, but also with sorrow and struggle. And so again, it's that E minor key that we come out of as we listen to these prophetic words from Ezekiel. I know Tana preached on Psalm 23 and then inserted Psalm 42 last week, and I appreciated listening to Tana's sermon because she comes from that same place of recognizing that in the midst of hearing these glorious words of a shepherding God in Psalm 23, there's also this place of lament that we hear these words in from the psalmist of Psalm 42. So perhaps this overwhelming vision of valley, of dry bones, as far as the eye can see, is why Ezekiel, when he responds to God, who says, "Can these bones live?" Ezekiel's response is probably coy and careful. "O Lord God, you know." And yet God doesn't leave Ezekiel in that place of intellectual assent. We read that Ezekiel's called to action. He's called to prophesy to the bones. And Ezekiel walks in humble and careful obedience. Let's again hear the words of Yahweh. "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act." O God, open the graves of our hearts. Our second trip is a trip into the gospel. Instead of a trip to the boneyard, I'm calling this a trip to the cemetery. And focusing on verse 25 of John 11, Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Then he asks this question, "Do you believe this?" Jesus is called to be with Mary and Martha in the wake of their brother's death. And like the people of Israel in the Ezekiel text, these sisters are in a place of lament, a place of darkness, a place of despair, a place of grief. And in the midst of this darkness and grief, Jesus invites them to again see, "I am." And there's many directions that we can go with such a long story like this, but I want us to focus on the word believe. As we try to reflect on our yearnings and the places where we're yearning to be set free, let's look at the word believe, used 8 times in today's gospel story. I'm going to quickly read the different snippets. Verse 15, "so that you may believe." Verse 25, "those who believe in me, though they die, will live." Verse 26, "and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Verse 26, part B, "do you believe this?" Verse 27, Martha's response, "yes, Lord, I believe." Verse 40, "did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Verse 42, "I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." Verse 45, "many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him." I don't know where you found yourself in today's gospel story, but I challenge you to think anew of this invitation to believe. Are you one who simply needs to believe anew as you come out of this E minor place during Lent? What does it mean for us to believe anew? Or maybe you count yourselves among those who've believed and seen, and you're feeling joy. You're feeling green because, yes, I do believe. I've come from these places of darkness and death and despair into these glimpses of these spaces of light and hope and healing. Or maybe you're one, and this was a great picture from the gospel text, who is in the midst of helping others pull off their grave garments. And you'll notice in this text that Jesus sends others to help Lazarus get unbound. He's just not left to unbind himself. I was talking with Marilyn Campbell before service today and was able to spend some time with her and some women that she works with who are in this season of recovery. And the image I had as I was reading the text this week was, Marilyn's one of those people. Week after week, she gets to walk with people who are moving from places of darkness and death and addiction, and slowly, slowly, slowly moving to places of hope, healing, sanctuary and light. And I know that we all, wherever we're called vocationally or in our school or in our homes, we too are doing that. But I wanted to name that little example that I got to be a part of this week. So as we close, I'm going to give you 2 minutes of silence. And I hope you can hear the I am echoes this morning. From Ezekiel 37, when I open your graves, you shall know I am the voice of Yahweh. That being echoed in the resurrection text this morning where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So as we sit in 2 minutes of silence, as we move through this E minor phase of Lent, will you allow God to open the graves of your hearts? To see, to hear, to sense, to feel what God is resurrecting. Barbara Brown Taylor talks about this as the greening of our souls. Where are those glimpses of green that you see today in these days? Or maybe as you're sitting in silence, God's calling you to be a prophet, to speak prophetically to one another, words of life, words of resurrection, words of hope and encouragement. Whatever it is, I hope that you will believe and move from this place today. That you'll believe and move your mouth, or move your body, move towards the empty tomb and help others undo their grave garments, but believe and move. The Spirit of Jesus looks to us with compassion, the voice of a friend, the love of a friend. He says, do you believe this? Let's pray together. Living God, who turns dry lands into pools of water, lead us to the spring of eternal life. May we drink and be satisfied and become channels of your grace. May those who still thirst find in you the water without price. Enable each one of us to play our part in leading them to you. For you are the never-failing fountain of life. Amen.